since I've been up here. Bipolar Speaks, back again. This is your host, Taz. I haven't done a lot of them. I haven't done much, but I'm coming to a situation now here where I feel like that it's time for me to come back and be consistent with it. I know one day somebody's going to listen to these and I'm going to blow up. So put the work in now. Wow, what's happened? It's been about a year, almost a year. Today's August 1st, 2019. A lot has happened. A lot has changed. I've moved. No longer in VA. Finally got out that spot. Let me just go ahead and put this out there. Virginia's definitely not for lovers. Because I got my heart broke almost all the time, as you folks know. The girl that I was with broke my heart, gave up on me. You know, I've spoken before about bipolar and borderline personality disorder and pretty much any mental illness that, you know, a lot of people, relationships are hard for us, you know. The statistics show that we are in the bottom when it comes to having a successful relationship. Now, I look at that and I say, well, why are we at the bottom? First of all, and second of all, who are you polling? Like, are you getting a group of people who don't take their medicine? Are you getting a group of people who are a certain age and they just gave up on themselves? Like, who are you talking to? Because for me, I can say my relationships have failed. I've had failed relationships, but I can't say that they're all because of bipolar. I would like to think that I just met the wrong person, maybe at the wrong time. You know, there's so many different, I can't even put the word in, but aspects of failing a relationship. Because you can look at just people who don't have mental illness and check the divorce rate. Like, nobody's talking about that. But at the same time, you know, it's mental illness and it gets put on the back burner until somebody commits suicide. And then they talk about it for about a good 2 weeks. And then it's back to, we get sent back to the back, you know, the nosebleed seats. So, yeah, she gave up on me. After that, I broke down. I might have done some episodes when I was broke down. I remember doing some when I was at Navy Federal, and I'm kind of brand new, because at first I wasn't putting names out there. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to call anybody out. Now, as far as people's name, I'm not gonna call them out unless they give me permission to. I'm definitely not gonna do that. But businesses, I'm calling you out, because what you're not finna do is you're not gonna sit there and act like you the greatest company in the world until it comes to mental illness. Like I said, mental illness is tough, and we carry a stigma. And when you're in a business, when you are employed by a certain employer, they expect certain things, and some things you just can't give them without extra help. It's not that you can't give it to them, but you just can't do it without extra help. Navy Federal definitely not one of them people. Let's just leave it at that, because I'm happy right now. I'm kind of happy, but I'm not. I made a childish mistake. Let me back up. So I moved to Georgia to help my parents out and to get out of VA. Okay, moved in November. Met this young lady in the end of December, early January. Matter of fact, it was New Year's, right before New Year's. Man, y'all, I can't speak on her accolades enough. Like, she has her flaws. Everybody has their flaws. I got my flaws. You got your flaws. Everybody has something about them. But it's like with her, and I don't know if it's because of me, because I just have the ability to see past people's stuff. And I think I can do that because that's what I would want somebody to do for me. If I can see past just your bullshit, you should be able to see past my bullshit. Especially when my bullshit is not as bad as your bullshit. I mean, that's just how I feel like that's how I should be. Sorry, Mom, for cussing. It's just how I felt for a minute. It felt good. But she got her things about her. She has, she's pretty much the prototype of the person that I prayed for, okay? She got some youngins. She got four of them. I love them all. Adore them all. Especially the youngest one. That's my boy. But she's just to start out, she's a wonderful person. Like, her spirit is so warm and nurturing. It's ridiculous. Like, I've come into contact with people who just had a quiet spirit that you felt at peace. But that peaceful spirit, it was never nurturing. You know what I mean? It's like, she's a mom, like, all the way through. And what's crazy is that she never wanted kids. That's the funny part. But she never wanted kids, and she got four of them. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, she's just a wonderful mom. She's been through a lot. She's been through a whole lot. She suffered from depression at one point. But she's had her bumps and bruises, just like I did. And so we kind of related on that from the top. Like, we understood each other. Like, it was never a problem. We jumped right in. I got to be honest with you. We jumped right in. Things were looking good. I'm 44. I turned 44 this year. She was 37 at the time. My mind thought, yo, I got to lock this down. Like, I can't let this one get away. So I proposed to her. I know, y'all, it's early. I did it like around March. We met in January. I got it. I got it. This was on some TV shit. But I need y'all to understand my mindset. My mom even said, don't do it. My mindset was that there is not a her anywhere else in this world. Nowhere else in this world. And if they are, they're far, far away. They're at a country or somewhere that I can't get to, that I'll never be at, so I can't even count them. In my mind, they don't exist. But there could be somebody over there just as wonderful. So here in the United States, here in GA, there's nobody out there. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, man. It's like she's just a wonderful, wonderfully made woman. You know what I mean? Wonderfully made. And the thing is that she's been through so much with men. She's had a lot of men issues that I look at it and I'm like, you know what? You know what they say? Another man's trash is another man. One man's trash is another man's treasure. And so you know what you do with trash. Once it's put out, you don't really care about it no more. You know what I'm saying? You have it for a minute. You use it. You dispose of it. I felt that she was a diamond in the rough. You know what I'm saying? Diamond in the rough. Because I got to keep going back to it. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. And so I proposed to her. You know, it wasn't the ideal proposal. It was in some hotel room. It wasn't fancy or anything, but my mindset was, yo, I love this woman. Like, I love what she represents. I love who she is. I love what she is, and I love what she is to me and how she is to me. Fast forward, y'all. Okay, so This is me being real. I'm gonna tell you something real quick. I'm always gonna keep it 100 with y'all. I'm always gonna keep it 100. I'm not, because what you're not gonna do is you're not gonna Google me and see some stuff and be like, he didn't say that, because this is what happened. I don't want it, whatever. Well, I'm just gonna say this. I fucked up. I made a childish decision without thinking of the repercussions. It was childish. Let me just say that. It was childish. And being the fact that it was a childish and immature decision, we are now on rocky road. Now, here's the thing. Earlier in the year, everything was good. I make this dumbass mistake in April, and now we're in a rocky road. Okay? July was a really bad month for us. Really bad. And I look back and, you know, we both had parts into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we both, neither one of us can say we didn't do something right or we did everything we could. We didn't. I'm gonna be honest. We didn't. But at the same time, a lot of that was on me, leading the way the wrong way. I didn't respect her boundaries a lot. I became fearful. I became angry because I wasn't getting things. Be honest, I wasn't getting what I wanted. I wanted us to be back again. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted, my intentions were good. What I wanted was us. And what I was getting was a cold shoulder. You know what I'm saying? That I was getting rejection. And what I didn't understand, and I kind of still don't, but I'm trying to learn. What I had to understand is that this is a new situation for me and for her. For her, anytime somebody does what I did or what it looked like I did, because this was all about perspective. But anytime somebody did anything close to that, she left them. Like, she left them alone. Me, she kept around. She can say, she would tell you, she doesn't even know why. I will tell you because she really loves me. Like, the shit's true. I tell you what, though. I did a lot of stuff in July that probably pushed her away. But yet she still, to this day, says she loves me. I got to thank God for that, because that's not me at all. It was nothing I said. Matter of fact, every time I said something, it was the wrong thing. And I had to learn. I'm learning the hard way that, you know, in the Bible, there is a passage in the Bible about the Israelites they didn't do what God told them to do. So what was supposed to be an 11-day journey took them 40 years to complete. 40, y'all. Like I said, this happened. This all started like the end of May. Here we are, August 1st, and we're still dealing with it. And let me tell you why. Because my dumbass decided to try to put my hand into what God was only supposed to do. And I'm the one who made that journey more than 11 days. So I take that. I'll take that. You know what I'm saying? I'll take that. I'm sure that if I did what she asked me to do in early July, we probably would have been good by now. Probably I would like to venture to say we would have been good by now. Because I do see certain signs that show that when I do what she asked me to do, like, things go smoother. I don't claim to be a relationship expert, okay? My thing is that I've always thought, I'm so used to being the one that knows more about a relationship. So now it's gotten to the point, like, I was with somebody for 10 years. Y'all know about that. I was with somebody for 10 years who really didn't know how a relationship was supposed to work. She was 10 years younger than me, though. I'm sorry, 12 years younger than me. So I spent a lot of time teaching. And so now I got a grown-ass woman, and I'm still in that mindset of teaching. And it's not an excuse, but there's excuses and then there's reason. Because my intentions are good. Like, I just want us to be good. But I got to understand what I've had to understand now is sometimes I got to take a step back. I got to take a step back and say, that's all you. I'm going to follow your lead. You win. You win. I'm going to take a step back and we're going to see how far this go. If it go well by following your lead, I'm the jackass. If it don't, sarah, sarah. Then can't nobody say nobody tried. Or at least they can't say I tried. Like, but she's stubborn. You know what I'm saying? She's stubborn. And she's very, very headstrong. And one of her flaws is the fact that her anger, like, you know what, y'all? Let me tell you something. I used to get angry. Like, angry. Like, Hulk angry. You know what I'm saying? My mom told me the other day, she said I used to get so mad that my eyes would change color and that my whole face would look different. I've never seen my face when I was mad. Let me just put that out there. I can't see my face. But she said it, I was like the Hulk. She said my eyes would just turn, they would just do something crazy. And she said I'll be, you know, I'm in the zone. I don't hear nothing. I don't see nothing. Only all I see is the folk, what I'm about to put my anger on. Okay? I've come a long way from that. Ask anybody that really know me, I've come a long way. But this chick, she got an anger. She get anger that quick. And the thing about her is that when she gets mad, she'll shut you out. Like, what feels like forever. But it's probably like a couple of hours. But she when she gets mad, she shuts down. I hate that. Because I'm the kind of dude that want to talk about it right then. So now I have to adjust to her and say, okay, so you angry. I'm going to let you have that. But when you cool down, let's go ahead back and discuss that. That way, both of us get what we need. She needs her time to cool off, and I get the time to, hey, let's figure this out. Let's both sit down and figure this out. Because there are times when I spit back at her because I have that anger inside of me that she says something, I got to say something, and then we both arguing. But I'm gonna be honest with you, I've come a long way, and. Listen, y'all, let me tell you something. This is a whole thing about relationships right now. And I'm going to swing it back around to mental illness in a minute. But relationship-wise, don't argue. What's the point? To be honest, what is the point to argue your point? If y'all can't sit there and discuss something, then y'all need to stop, find what the trigger is, and then come back and talk about it. Now, it's taken me a long time to figure this out. So I don't expect you to be able to do it right now because it's easier said than done. It's taken me how long? What, 5 years? 4 or 5 years? Maybe longer to figure this out? Well, the thing about me is that I continue to grow. I continue to evolve. I continue to say, you know what? I need to change this. Because if I don't change this, I'm going to be single forever. That's definitely not what I want. I don't want that. So we're at a rebuilding stage. I like to think that we're in a rebuilding stage. Her trust was a little of her trust was violated or taken advantage of, however you want to see it. So she doesn't have full trust in me. She probably got like 75%. But that damn 25 is important as hell because you can't sit back and say, as a man, there's no way you can sit back and say, oh, we good. She got 75. That's still above average. Brother, you need to have that whole 100. Let me tell you, because if not, you will never, ever get the kind of love that you deserve and that you wish for if she's not at 100. I'm just saying. Now, you can go ahead and keep it real with yourself and try to be all big and bad and say, yeah, well, yeah, I can make it with 65% of her trust. Okay. All right. Be right here in the podcast. Listen to me again. That's what's going to happen. But so let me just tie this around mental illness because One day she's going to listen to this. And I just want to say right now, I miss her. I miss how we were. I really do. I so much regret what I did. Like, there is nothing. If I had to reverse something in time, that would be the first thing I would reverse. That right there. There's a lot of regret that I have. Or there's some things that I don't regret, and I just, you know, it's just an experience. This right here, it's not what I call an experience. This is what I call regret. And I regret the day that I made that childish mistake. And so to my baby, let me just say, this is a podcast. People can listen to this all over the world. If they just go to Bipolar Speaks on Apple, on Spotify, on Pandora, I'm up there. So I just want you to know, I am so sorry for what I did or what I said. I can't take it back. I can't do nothing about it. All I can do is assure you and prove that it not only will that not happen again, but nothing, I will never do anything to violate your trust again. Never. And I put a stamp on that, seal it, send it to God, because it's that's how I feel. And that's the truth. You know what I'm saying? Whether we last or not, I'm just telling you, that's how I feel. And now I'm just keeping it real with you. Mental illness. So how does this tie in? This show is about Bipolar Speaks, right? And I told you we talk about pretty much any mental illness, but since I have the bipolar, that's in the forefront. How does this play? How does this play a role? Well, when I made this dumbass decision, I was not on medication. Hadn't been on medication for about 6 months. And it was definitely a manic episode. Definitely a manic episode. And the reason why I'm saying that now is because I didn't want to start off with that, because that would appear that I'm using it as a crutch. But I have accepted accountability. I've accepted the fact that what I did was stupid. What I did hurt. I'm not a person that likes to hurt anybody. And the fact that I hurt her, and I won't say destroyed, but definitely damaged her trust. I just can't even. But going back to mental illness, I was not on medication. And it wasn't because I had it and didn't want to take it. I had no insurance. I had no control. No real control over the things that I was doing. The whole proposal thing probably was a manic thing. It was probably manic. Part of it was manic. I do know that how much I feel about her. I can tell you that's true. But it was impulsive. I ain't gonna lie. But my point is, when you have a mental illness, like we do, the most important thing, and I've said this before, is to make sure that you're getting therapy, medication, any help that you need. Because what this world don't, what you don't gotta understand is, the world don't care. Like, you hurt somebody, you're still held accountable, whether it was your medicine or not. You're held accountable. And there are some times when you can't do nothing about what you did. You just got to accept the consequences and hope you survive it. Now, I happen to be lucky right now because she kept me around. It's God. I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. Because the fact that I know her history, and I know how she really is, I'm blessed. I'm just going to keep it at that. I'm blessed. I know what the other dudes have done to her and what she's gone through. I'm sincerely blessed. Sincerely. No jokes aside. But not every time. This is not a situation that happens all the time. Sometimes with our mental illness, yeah, we get impulsive. Yeah, we get angry. Yeah, we do certain things. We don't think before we act, which is impulsive. We go out on shopping sprees. We commit suicide. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that we do. You know, with the BDP, you have fear abandonment. When people, you feel like people are leaving, you get angry, you lash out. Things of that nature. It pushes people away. It does. And while you think that they should understand, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't. And the thing is, those are the reasons why getting help and taking your medication when you're supposed to and not saying, I don't need it. Because there's times when people feel good, like, man, I feel real good right now. I don't need to take this medication. Wrong. Wrong. I'm going to need you to take that pill or two or five, whatever it is. Because what you want to do is you want to keep it flowing in your body. You want to keep it. If things are going good, damn it, you want it to go stay good. What you don't want is to get caught up in them date. You get caught up one time. You ain't took your medicine on Thursday. Here it is Saturday. You got a date. She don't show up. Now the medicine's gone. What you going to do? Because once you take it, it's got to start all over again. So what you going to do when you get rejected? What you going to do when one of your triggers show up? See, that's why it's so important to make sure that your medication and your therapy, you go into your therapy appointments. It's so important. I cannot express to you how important it is. Well, you know, I got three more minutes. Because I'm going to start making this show about 30 minutes, just 30 minutes. Because at some point, people are going to start calling. I'm going to set it up as people start calling in. I'm not that tech savvy yet, but I'm going to figure it out. But like I said, I'm sorry I haven't done this. I should have been doing it for a long time. But I'm back. And I'm probably going to do this probably twice a week. At least twice a week. I'm going to go ahead and make that my goal to do this twice a week for the rest of the year. And you never know. I might have a surprise guest. I might actually bring my girl up here and, you know, we'll just go through a question answer session with each other and you can get her perspective of how it feels to be in a relationship with somebody who has a mental illness. Well, real quick, I want y'all to, you know, say some prayers for my dad. He just had surgery. He's doing all right, but his pain is, I mean, the surgery went well, but he's struggling. He had physical therapy today. I went out there to support him to try to get him to the goal. And it's tough watching my dad not be able to do things that he knows he normally can do. It's tough to watch a parent. It's tough to watch anybody that you care about do that. But when you're so used to a parent that's so strong, like my dad played football. He's been in the Army for 20 some years. Like, I've seen him do a lot. So it's tough to watch him in pain. And you feel for him because I know he got pride. No matter what the age is, he's a man. So your mind says you can do it, but your body is like, hold up, Jack. We just got cut. So I'm gonna need you to slow down. So, wow. Can't believe I'm back. But thank you for listening. And I'll see you next Tuesday. Peace.